Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name's Kerry Stevenson, and today I'm bringing you a nickel story. Not just any nickel story, ladies and gentlemen. This is a green nickel story. It's a nickel story. It's a premium nickel story. Gosh, we've got a lot to talk about. And please welcome the Managing Director of Blackstone Minerals. How are you today, Scott Williams? ASX code is BSX. Good to see you, my friend.
Yeah, good to see you, Kerry. Yeah, thanks for having me. And yeah, great to be here. And yeah, look forward to having a chat about our nickel mine in Vietnam.
Yes, I was going to say, now you have spoken to Small Caps, I think it was back in June, where we gave a big overview. But why don't we just, for those people that may not have listened to that particular episode back in June, and I know there's been a lot going on, including a scoping study, which we'll get to. But let's just give a quick overview. You've got a project up in northern Vietnam. If you can just give a quick overview of that to start.
Yeah, so it's called the Thác Bà Nickel Sulphide District. And we acquired that recently. The previous owners operated the mine between 2013 and 2016. And they operated it in some difficult nickel price environment. So when they closed the mine, they put it into care and maintenance. The nickel price at the time was $8,000 per tonne. So they depleted the first ore body, which is called the Ban Phuc massive sulfide ore body. So it was built by an Australian group of metallurgists and Australian mining engineers, and it was built to an Australian standard. And so there's an existing concentrator. The previous owners sunk $136 million into the infrastructure. Yeah. And they didn't do any exploration outside of that first ore body, which was Ban Phuc. So what we've done is just turn on the drill rigs, and we're discovering a lot of nickel. So we've drilled out the Ban Phuc disseminated ore body, which is associated with that first ore body. It's the major intrusion and a much bigger ore body. So we've drilled that out, and now we're just systematically working through the belt and I suppose using all the modern geophysical techniques that we're so, I suppose, good at in Australia, and that's the EM and the IP, all those geophysical techniques, unlocking this, what we think could be a world-class nickel sulfide district. But most importantly, we're going to push it into these downstream products for the lithium ion battery industry. So yeah, it's a really exciting project. We've got some of the best geology I've ever been involved in. But most importantly, we've got the partner to take us all the way through. So yeah, we've got a really strong funding partner, and yeah, we can talk all about that as well. So yeah, really excited to give you the rundown and all of that.
Well, let me tell you, when you say things like that, I sit up and take notes. I've known you for a while, Scott. You've actually worked in the resources industry for quite some time in different commodities. You're a graduate of the West Australia School of Mines. You liked your time in Kalgoorlie. But this particular project, because it's got such a it's got huge potential, do you think you're only – two questions here. One, do you think you're only getting started? And two, you just said that when these guys had this project, the nickel price was 8,000. Just remind us, what is the nickel price today? And what price does it need to be to be profitable?
Yeah, so today, we are definitely just getting started, and I'll talk more about that. But today's nickel price is around $15,000 per tonne. So nearly twice the price when they put this into care and maintenance. We can still make money down around $10,000 to $12,000 per tonne. So the reason they closed the mine at the time is not just the nickel price, but they didn't do any exploration. So they just didn't, drill out the next part of the mine before. And they just ran out of mine life. And that's a bit of a sin in the industry, is that you just can't do that. You've always got to be drilling ahead of yourselves. And unfortunately, they just didn't do that. The other thing is that they had this tariff on concentrate. So there's a tariff on concentrate. If you ship a nickel con, that you have to pay 20% tariff to the government. And the previous owners were paying that tariff. And they sort of, They realized that they didn't want to pay that extra amount to build the downstream facility. And so they just said, too hard. We'll nickel price is low. Didn't want to inject that last little bit of capital to get the downstream up and running to remove the tariff. And so it's sort of, yeah, it's a great sort of opportunity for us because they've done all a lot of that hard work for us. And we will build the downstream and that allows us to remove the tariff. So we are just starting from a geological perspective, sorry to interrupt you, Scott.
How did you come across this project? Because, you know, did you have a crystal ball and you went, look, that nickel price is going to go crazy. There's going to be a supply crunch. Let's go to Vietnam.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So the Korean group EcoPro actually said to us, it was about 2 years ago, we took them to Canada looking at our cobalt asset and they said, oh, can you look for nickel sulfide because we're increasing the nickel content of the cathode. And then so I sort of looked around and sort of, I suppose, searching through my database of networks. And so we looked at Kalgoorlie and Kambalda and all the great nickel around there. And then we looked at Canada. And then I had a coffee with one of my previous colleagues, a guy called Evan Spencer. He was my first boss when I was in the School of Mines. He was the mine manager at the Kanowna Belle Gold Mine, and I was a young mining engineer. Anyway, I caught up with Evan. He said, I said to him, because I knew that he was operating this mine in Vietnam. I said, what happened to that nickel mine? And he said, the metallurgist, Steve Enor, bought it and you need to go and he's having a bit of trouble accessing capital. So through my sort of, experience in the capital markets, I saw that opportunity to go up there, access some capital with Steve. And Steve's now, he's a major shareholder. So it was a drive from the battery end users and it was built on my existing relationships. But if it wasn't for the Korean battery end users, we definitely wouldn't have been looking for nickel. We would have probably gone back to gold where it's a lot easier to access capital.
Well, we're going to talk about there's a couple of projects within the Blackstone Minerals group. So we'll, and you know me, Scott, I'm a bit of a gold nerd. So we'll come back to that in a minute. But we were talking off camera and you were talking about, first of all, it's there's nickel and there's nickel. And you guys are creating a premium battery product. Can you just explain what that is, why it's a premium and why this particular project allows that to happen?
Yeah, so that this is the reason why the Koreans actually said to us, can you look for nickel sulfide? So you want a class one nickel, which is either nickel sulfide or a nickel laterite. But the nickel laterite process technology and metallurgy is a little bit more difficult. So they particularly said to us, can you find nickel sulfide? Because that's the easiest type to convert in from the class one nickel into the battery nickel. So it's all about, using that class one nickel, converting it into a chemical product. And so we're going to convert it, the concentrate, so the nickel concentrate. So we do a conventional flotation of the concentrate. And on that concentrate, we then push it through the downstream process to convert it into the precursor to the battery. So they actually call it a nickel cobalt manganese precursor product. And that's the trades at a 35% premium to the nickel metal price. So it, through that chemical process, which is a process that our partner EcoPro is already doing in South Korea. So we're using the existing technology that EcoPro will bring to the team. So they're bringing funding, but they're also bringing some of the best battery chemical engineers in the world. So they will help us convert that concentrate to the downstream precursor product, which trades 35% premium. So it is a premium product. To produce that, we do need to purchase some cobalt sulfate, some manganese sulfate. So and that's what EcoPro already do. So they already have the existing supply chains to produce this product and the existing expertise and technology. So we're not reinventing anything. This is something that's already been done in South Korea. So we'll bring our South Korean partner EcoPro to Vietnam and we'll do that together. So it is, it's a fairly new thing for the industry.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. But apart from being potentially your offtake partner, have they got any skin in the game in terms of the project itself, EcoPro?
So far we've brought them in and they put in $6.8 million and they paid a 62% premium to the market at the time. So they are a major shareholder. They also have a board representative, Mr. Jung. And so there's a very strong relationship built over 2 years now. So it took us 2 years to get to that point where they would first invest. But that's a very small investment compared to the next stage, which is where they'll actually come in for a minimum of half of the capex. So that $150 million is we were looking at a joint venture, 50-50 joint venture with EcoPro. So it's a Blackstone EcoPro joint venture, and that's where so there's some big money to come, and so they're definitely they're going all in on Blackstone, which is great.
That is a pretty special partner to have. Now, just a second ago, you talked about this is this has a premium to the market of 35%, but you also not pay a tariff of 20%. So, in theory, this is especially with nickel at 15,000. I guess your costs would come down because there's a balance there, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the key drivers was being able to remove that tariff. And the other thing is that the EcoPro partner, they can't access concentrate. So they need these downstream products. And the benefit being that we've got the hydro grid power plant. So we've got the largest hydro power plant in Southeast Asia in Son La, and we're already hooked into that. So we've got some very low power costs, some of the lowest labor costs we've seen. So it's a great jurisdiction to build this downstream facility. So very low operating cost environment. And the ability to produce a green nickel product. So that's the real benefit that a lot of our peers don't have.
Yeah, let's talk about this because we've got nickel. Let's go green nickel now, Scott. Let's go green. What do you mean by a green nickel product? I guess it's all to do because it's the lithium ion batteries and the electric vehicles. Is that what you're saying? Because you're producing a product which is going into these better environmental
vehicles. Yeah, that's right. The initial lithium ion battery was built mainly for phones and power tools. And now the future of the lithium ion battery is for the electric vehicle. And so Elon Musk came out the other day and he said, we must produce nickel in an environmentally friendly way and sustainably, because the whole idea of the electric vehicle defeats the purpose if we're burning fossil fuels to produce the nickel. And so it's very important that from the OEM perspective that they're sourcing the cleanest and greenest nickel that they can find. And to do that, you want to be using renewable power and you want to be using this hydrometallurgical process that we use. So it's a very low energy intensity process, a low emission process as well. A lot of the existing nickel mines are using a pyrometallurgical process, which is a lot of heat and a lot of energy. And they're not using renewable power. They're using diesel or gas power. So it's all about the where you're getting your power from, which processing technology you're using. So we're using renewable power, very low carbon footprint. So we will look to use as much electric equipment as possible. So a lot of the underground equipment can be fully electric these days. So there is a chance that we'll go very low carbon footprint, maybe even a zero carbon footprint mine. And then, so we believe we'll get maybe even a further premium because we have a green nickel product.
Wow, that is pretty exciting. You mentioned jurisdiction a moment ago. Is Vietnam a safe and I guess labor costs are fairly good. So that brings your costs of mining down a little bit. Where you are in northern Vietnam, is there a lot of labor around? Is it easy to find skilled workers? And is the government very supportive?
Yeah, it's been really refreshing actually going into what is still an emerging market, but having already an established mining industry. So we have a team of geologists and the head or the chief geologist has been working on this asset for 20 years. So Dr. Ming, he's a doctor of magmatic nickel sulfide geology. He's as good as anyone in the industry. And so we've got this established mining industry. We've got all the service providers. We can bring in. We don't have the problem where in WA we have at the moment. We can't find drillers and drills. We can buy in drills cheaply. We've got plenty of drillers. And I suppose the best a part of this is that they've controlled the COVID situation better than anyone. So very similar border control to Western Australia. So it's 14 days quarantine on the way in. And so that made it a very strong economy now. So Vietnam are looking at GDP growth as still 5%. So it's very similar to what we've done in Western Australia. They've gotten a strong industry that they didn't want anyone to sort of come in and ruin that. And similar to what we've done in Western Australia, where we're getting on with it. So it's been great, and great to have good people, very loyal culture, very hardworking, and if anything, it's probably easier to get things done than maybe some areas of Australia.
Well, you've mentioned it, so I'm going to bring it up. The big C word. Clearly, you haven't been able to get up to Vietnam. Has that impeded the project at all? Or, as you said, one of your key people has been working in this area for 20 plus years and knows this province, knows this deposit really well. I guess having people like that on the ground makes it a bit easier.
Yeah, so we've got that established team. We've got the Steve Ennor, the metallurgist that we talked about that we bought the mine off. He's been in Vietnam for 10 years, and he's been the one that's kept this team together, and he's kept all those very strong relationships with the provincial government, the local partner. So we're leveraging off all that great work that Steve and the team have done over the last 10 or 20 years. So it's very much self-sufficient. So when I used to go to site last year, I did 7 site visits in 7 months, and my job is obviously to access the capital. So a lot of the time I was coming in with investors. Obviously we can't do that at the moment, but we've been able to access capital without the site visits, which is great. So we're accessing capital, the market's strong, The mine is self-sufficient. We can get people in there, but it is a 14 days quarantine on the way in. So Patrick Chang, my head of corporate development, is actually in there and getting in involved. And so he can speak the Vietnamese language. So he's actually starting to sort of work on some of those relationships. And so we can get people in there, but it's a little bit more difficult, but it's very much self-sufficient.
Well, you don't really need to, and you're talking about self-sufficient. You're probably much more efficient because you're getting on. Do you reckon you're more productive now that you haven't had to get in planes and aeroplanes and airports?
Yeah, so I think the world's changed, obviously, and so I was never one to work from home, and now I'm a big believer of working from home, and the efficiency I've seen through this new world of Zoom and Teams, I could only have dreamt of. So that what we've been able to achieve since the virus kicked off is, my productivity has skyrocketed. So I can go around the world 3 times and haven't left this seat. So it is amazing that we can access capital, big amounts of capital as well. I spent a lot of time on planes and wasn't efficient. So I will always question now whether to get on a plane or not, because it's amazing what we've been able to achieve without any travel.
Kind of feel the same, Scott. Kind of feel the same. Now, we've got a few more things I want to cover before we finish. This particular area, the Ta Qua project, there's lots of different ore bodies in this area, and really you've just looked at one at the moment. Can you just quickly give an overview? Because I guess my question is, are you just getting started on this project?
Yeah, so we've drilled out. So what we did is to justify building a downstream facility and to bring in EcoPro as our official partner, we needed to find something of scale. So we went to one of the biggest ore bodies we could see, which is Ban Phuc, and we drilled that out. So we've now delivered the maiden resource. It's around 60 million tonnes at 0.5% nickel. And what we're saying is it's very similar to the Mount Keith nickel mine in Western Australia, which is one of the best nickel mines we've seen. Not quite as big as Mount Keith, but it's a mini Mount Keith. So it's a big bulk tonnage open pit mine. And that allows us the scale and size to justify building a downstream facility. So we've drilled out that first ore body. We're drilling out number 2 and 3. So Ban Chang, Ta Kung. We will move on to others, Ban Qua and others. it will take us some time to unlock all of that geology. So this is a district that will take some time. It's sort of like going into Kambalda 50 years ago, and we're still finding ore bodies in Kambalda now today. So it will take some time to unlock the geology. We want to use the modern geophysics to, I suppose, fast track that process. So we've trained up the local geophysicists. We've bought our own geophysics equipment. So we're using all those modern geophysical techniques and exploration techniques to unlock the geology as quickly as possible. But in the meantime, our first ore body, we've come out with an NPV of $665 million on ore body one. So we are just starting. The first ore body is a great start. And yeah, even if we got valued on our first ore body alone, we'd be doing pretty well. So there's a lot of blue sky potential here. And yeah, it will sink in eventually.
To the market. Yeah, I think you are. I love the fact that you mentioned it before, the green nickel side of it as well. There's not that many around. And that is a big tick for you. Excuse me. Got a frog in my throat. Let's talk about some of the other projects, because you've pretty much locked up this province for Blackstone Minerals, haven't you? And there's decades to come. There's going to be, I assume, lots of news flow coming, so we'll be talking again in the future, so we'll keep a very close eye on that. So congratulations on that one. But you mentioned before cobalt in Canada, and you mentioned gold. So have you still got any of those projects? Where are you with those? Are you looking to do something with them?
Yeah, so we've been very open about the fact our Canadian asset is becoming non-core. We're focusing on Vietnam. We're seeking partners on that project. So we're sort of going through that process of talking to other players around opportunities to deal on that asset. So it's become non-core and it's not a focus. So we're working on a deal or a number of different opportunities on that front. The gold in Western Australia, which is the assets that we listed on our IPO process over 3 years ago now, it's probably time for us to look at, okay, well, maybe we need to monetize those assets as well. So there's an opportunity to start to, I suppose, see value for those other assets that are non-core. And so we're very active on making sure the shareholders can make some money out of that. At the moment, they're not being valued potentially not being valued at all. So anything we can do to get some good value out of those assets, we're very focused on, yeah, really pushing this Vietnam nickel all the way through and just removing anything that's going to slow that process down.
I often say to people, you've got to have the right people and they've got to be focused. And clearly you're very focused on Northern Vietnam and this nickel project. Any further comments you'd like to make? We've got a lot of investors watching this at the moment, and I think it's a very exciting story that's only getting started. Any final comments before we wrap her up today?
Yeah, I think in summary, we've got a district scale opportunity. There's only so many of these left in the world today. So most of these district scale nickel sulfide opportunities are owned by major mining companies like Norilsk and Jinchuan and BHP, Glencore and Vale. So this is one of those last sort of opportunities that's not owned by a major mining company. And so we think that we've got that sort of potential to be a globally significant nickel mining company through this particular asset. So, and through that strong relationship we have with EcoPro that allows us to build and develop these downstream products, which not many of our peers can do. So all of our peers will be looking to produce nickel concentrate. We can take that concentrate and convert it into these premium products. And a lot of our peers can only think about doing that. And we're actually going to do it with our partner, EcoPro.
It would be remiss if I didn't ask the question, do you think you might be a target for a takeover?
Yeah, obviously we'll be gaining a lot of interest, particularly now that we've got this scoping study out and there's a lot of numbers in there.
Yeah.
It's not a focus of mine. Being a mining engineer, I'm sort of driven to actually build something. So yeah, we'll see how that plays out. But yeah, I think we're definitely on the radar of some bigger players.
Watch this space. Scott Williamson from Blackstone Minerals, thank you so much for talking to Small Caps today, and we'll catch up with you not too distant future.
Thanks, Kerry.